Chances are you read something today printed in a typeface or font designed by Frederick Gowdy. Many of his fonts have been digitized and are available in pull-down menus and word processing software. The self-taught printer, artist, and type designer was born in Bloomington in 1865, and a new exhibit of posters on display at the McLean County Museum of History pays tribute to the Bloomington native. The posters were designed by Park Ridge, Illinois graphic designer Rex Parker. To say Parker is a Gowdy fan is an understatement. Parker tells GLT's Mike McCurdy it's no surprise to him people are still talking about Gowdy today.
He's current right now. I mean, actually, just in 2016, Syracuse University did their whole rebranding of their whole campus ID, and they found out they had a lost Gowdy typeface, Sherman, and they had the original drawings and the matrix and all the rights to it. And Pentagram, this great New York design firm, went over and redigitized the whole lost typeface Sherman. And it's now their, it was the backbone of their whole new branding program. It's on their website. And he is as current now as he is 100 years ago.
Interesting. I was going to ask you about lost typefaces. I discovered that as I was looking into him. Are there some more out there, do you think?
Yeah. Well, they're lost in two ways. One, he did all his work during the hot type era, so nothing was digitized. So now there's a lot of designers out there, designers.
And by hot type, you're talking about casting it in lead.
Yeah, casting lead. So they've been taking his type and digitizing it. And there's a couple of designers who actually have been doing that, thank goodness. And then the other thing is the Village Press, which he had for almost 40 years, had two fires, and twice a lot of the type got destroyed, but because of some persistence of some people, they went back and got printings of it and recast, I mean, digitized it. And every year there's a new typeface. And there's, you know, when I did the series, I was trying to do as many as I could. I did, like, I think over 40 typefaces, and it was just a chance in these posters to show these, you know, his type is actually a work of art.
Have they all been digitized at this point?
No. There's maybe, of the 120 typefaces, you can get maybe 40, 45.
And how has the design of typeface changed from Gowdy to today? With digital tools, it's as easy as it's ever been. So does it mean as much today to come up with a new font as it did back then?
I mean, what's different between Gowdy and today? Today's, there's like really good designers now. I mean, I use a lot of modern type or type from the, you know, Art Deco type. But now if you have a designer doing type, it's all digitally, and it's by a team. You might have a team of 12, 14 people working on a type family, where Gowdy hand drew every letter, which was, I think, amazing. He didn't use 3D. It was just, I mean, he was like an artist. It was amazing.
Well, talk about that process for a moment, about how he created typeface, what the different steps.
Yeah, okay, the first step is he would go over and, you know, do his, you know, basic sketches like everybody else. But he would actually hand draw initially the type in sketches. And then initially, until like about 1924, he would go to this guy named Robert Wupke, and he was this master matrix cutter. And you'd go there and they would, you know, cut a wooden die type thing, and then they'd go over and cast a brass master matrix, and from that matrix they could just chunk out the type. And then back then, you would, you know, if you're going to do a page of a book, you would have to compose it, and you'd do one letter at a time. And actually, his wife Bertha was fantastic at this. She was just a speed demon. And this is how everybody did it from the Gutenberg original press until monotype.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy talking with Rex Parker, a Chicago-area graphic designer who is celebrating the life and career of Frederick Gowdy with an exhibit of posters at the McLean County Museum of History. Gowdy spent his first 13 years or so in Bloomington Normal. At just age 13, could this have been a formative time for him at all?
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah, it was. There's some fun stuff. First of all, it was amazing. He was born a month before the end of the Civil War. And actually, about 2 months after he was born, his mother took him up to the train station, and she joined thousands who were mourning the Lincoln train as it stopped here on its way to Springfield. His father was the superintendent of schools in Bloomington, and he was a lifelong educator. And he, in Bloomington, he had a great childhood. He you know, played baseball, skated. He saw the Medicine Show guys. He got his first pantograph. It's a device where you draw and it would mimic your drawing on the other side. And he used this later in life to all these type designs.
That's pantograph with an O.
Yeah, pantograph. Yeah. Yeah,
not to be confused with the pantograph, which is our newspaper.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Yeah. What was really great in Bloomington is his father had a small library, and he would always go in there, and that's where his love of books he had that would he carry through his whole life, and he would end up, you know, producing 170 books during his lifetime.
So it wasn't until he moved to the Chicago area that he designed his first font?
His first lettering project was in Shelbyville, Illinois. He went to high school there, and he did some work with a wallpaper guy, and they were doing his church added some Sunday school rooms, and he was looking at them. They had like about 10 spaces in between the Sunday school rooms, and he went to the elders of church and said it'd be great if I could put some wonderful quotes of the Bible on here. And so he went and borrowed some wallpaper, hand cut out 1,000 letters, put them all over, you know, the Sunday school, and then got paid $10. Went over to Bethany to work on a roofing project, came back and found out they had an elder who had been a colonel in the Civil War, had got up and made this passionate speech about this is the most beautiful Sunday school murals he'd ever seen. And it was incredible. And Gowdy would get paid an extra $10. And then later in life, when he's about 65, he gets real sentimental about Bloomington, Central Illinois, and Chugville. And he would design his typeface called Tidal Orient using that same design. And so you kind of display typeface, but it's really cool. And it's just kind of neat. So his first type design was age 17. I mean, his project.
He had to circle back to it to actually make an official typeface, though.
Did
he remember it, or did he go back there and?
No, he remembered it. I mean, he had this, and what's amazing, he's a guy who didn't go to Paris to study like a lot of people like Frank Lloyd Wright and John Singer Sargent. He was all self-taught.
So his first hit, correct me if I'm wrong, was Kennerly Old Style?
At age 46, he really was a hit. Mitchell Kennerly was his first modern publisher, and him and Gowdy were real good friends, and he wanted to get Gowdy into the big-time book business, and he had got him to do this book for H.G. Wells called A Door in a Wall, and Gowdy designed his typeface for it, and the book, people loved the book, but, I mean, they liked the book. They loved his typeface, Kennerly Old Style. He named it after his friend Mitchell Kennerly. And in London, they said it was the most incredible typeface they've seen in 200 years.
So what sets that typeface apart?
It's just a face that it works well as a headline. It works well as a body type. Actually, I just used the italic version for our local civic orchestra for the Christmas spring poster, and it's just this neat typeface, and it has this whole American feel to it.
So fonts are different by design. Did Gowdy have a style? Are his fonts recognizable in some way that someone could say that's a Frederick Gowdy typeface, or are they so varied that?
Yeah, you know, they are varied. But since they're all hand-drawn, they all have kind of a style to it. And he did a range of stuff. And, he did close to 9,000 characters. So he's in different types of type. But they all kind of have this, you can just tell he has this, I always thought it was this mid-Central Illinois thing. He has this kind of, and his favorite typeface, my favorite is Gowdy Old Style. And every time I look at him, I'm going, and it's like this type that is classy and elegant, but it's all so casual. And every time I look at it, I was going, this is a guy from Bloomington drawing this. I mean, he just has this, and it's this typeface. It is a headline that's unbelievable, and a text void is unbelievable.
Rex Parker is a Chicago area graphic designer who's celebrating the life and career of Frederick Gowdy with an exhibit of posters featuring a lot of Gowdy's fonts on those posters at the McLean County Museum of History. This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. I'm using that phrase interchangeably, font, typeface. Is there a difference?
No, not really. Right. Just
So the McLean County Museum of History is recognizing Gowdy with this exhibit featuring your posters. How did you come to create a series of posters honoring Frederick Gowdy?
I got elected to city council. When most people get elected to city council, if you're finance, they put you in a finance department. If you're a lawyer, they put you on the rules committee. I was in advertising and design, so I got put on the arts committee. And I found out our community had just kind of lost great art colony. And they had Grant Woods and some of these just really neat artists, and one of them was Frederick Gowdy.
And that community is?
Yeah, in Park Ridge, yeah. Park Ridge, Illinois. And I did a series of posters promoting this lost art colony, and I was going to do one poster of Gowdy. And it was kind of a neat idea, and it was kind of cute. And then I started looking at his typefaces, and I got to do another one. And before you know it, I did like 35 posters. I mean, because and it mostly was a chance to showcase these fonts that people haven't seen a lot. And I tried to do the type big because his work and his on typefaces is as memorable as a Da Vinci painting, as far as I'm concerned. He's everything was hand drawn, and he was, you know, and what's amazing is he worked really hard. He took care and time at every letter he did.
Certainly more widely seen than some of Da Vinci's work.
Yeah.
People are reading it or absorbing it and not even realizing that he designed it. What are the elements that run through all of those posters besides the work of Frederick Gowdy? Is there anything there that ties them together?
When you do 35 posters, you kind of, at some point, I mean, I started this one look, this kind of arts and crafts look, and as it went, it's kind of expanded. I mean, because one of the typefaces he did, this Gowdy Heavy, became a typeface they used for the Woodstock area, you know, during the 60s, mm-hmm. and it was really like peace, love, and Gowdy, and it was kind of funky, mm-hmm. so I kind of did the kind of more of a 60s look for that.
I think one of my favorite of your posters is the one that pays tribute to Gowdy's copper plate Gothic typeface. It's bold like the font, bright colors, hot colors. Tell me about this poster and that typeface. Where might we see that typeface?
That typeface is everywhere. It's still a really current typeface.
You can find it in a pull-down menu Word.
Yeah, Word, and I use Apple, so it's and you can use this typeface, use it on a lot of websites too. The thing about this typeface is, and this poster, what I wanted to do is, at least one of the posters in the series, is show that this is a cold, you know, this metal type era. And so I kind of did this, you know, and I thought, well, hot, I can, you know, do this, you know, combine this, you know, H and an O and a T into like this kind of neat little motif. Plus, the fire thing makes it sizzle, and the colors are cool. So, and that was kind of Gowdy. Gowdy was in the area where they're doing all these, you know, wonderful. You know, I just thought it was kind of a fun little idea.
So it may vary from graphic designer to graphic designer, but what are your rules for fonts or typefaces? When to choose one over another? When to mix fonts?
Or does it just kind of depend on the project? I've been working for over 30 years, so I'm at the point right now that I just kind of do the things I want. I mean, when I first started, there's all these rules you had to do, and now I do a lot of Art Deco stuff. So, but this time doing this work with Gowdy has been really fun, because it's made me really appreciate his type fonts.
Do you choose the font you want to use, or do you choose the font you think will have the greatest effect on the person that views the art?
Well, I think if I pick it, it's going to have the most effect. I mean, I'm inclined to do bold typography. I like my typography to be readable, but I like it, you know, big and have an impact. And I'll do bold colors. I mean, I like primary colors a lot. But with this one, this series, there's a lot of more muted tones, just because it was kind of arts and craft era, and you kind of wanted to be, you know, tip your hat to those guys. You know, they did some wonderful stuff.
You obviously look at graphics and print differently than the rest of us. You notice, most of us may not consciously recognize, but you notice different typefaces. Do you think the general public actually sort of, those typefaces or fonts has an effect on what they see? Or how they react to graphic design?
I hope so. I mean, a lot of times people just think, I mean, the thing that gets me out of typefaces is, there's a lot of fonts out there right now that are flashy, and they're good for a headline font, but you can never put them in text. And the one thing that I got to give Gowdy a lot of credit for is his fonts are wonderful headline fonts, but if you're going to put a book or brochure together, they're great body. Yeah, and so
they don't tire the eye.
You can, and where there's some really great modern typefaces that are, you know, but if it's not a headline, you can't use them, you know.
Do you think someone would have come up with something similar if Gaudi hadn't done all of these fonts? If Gaudi hadn't been born, hadn't gone this direction, do you think these would have developed over time? Do you think he...
It might have been six people. It wouldn't have been one person. Here's a part about him that's wonderful. He never went to art school. He had 2 years of high school. He went to the Newberry Library and looked at every book about typography he could and every book about printing. And he went to a bookstore called A.C. McClure's in Chicago and hung out with the, what they call bookophones, a bunch of guys that like books. And there's a moment in his life, there's this George Millard, who was the manager of the rare book department. But George Millard kept giving Gaudi all these wonderful handmade books. And one of them was this book from England of poetry. And when Gaudi saw it, it was like he got hit by a bolt of lightning. This is what he wants to do. And he would talk about this book forever, and like at talks later on, because he used to do a lot of talks. And he was at Vassar College one time at the end of a discussion, and one of the librarians walked up, gave him the book, and he kept it forever. It was the moment that he saw this, and he wanted to become this. And it took him a number of years to get where he wanted to be, but he did it.
Well, Rex Parker, thanks for joining us on Sound Ideas to talk about Frederick Gaudi.
Well, thanks.
Graphic designer and Frederick Gaudi admirer Rex Parker, talking with GLT's Mike McCurdy. Parker's posters highlighting the type styles of the Bloomington-born designer are on display in an exhibit called The Titan of Type through November 24th. Of his nearly 125 fonts, about 40 have been digitized. See some of Parker's posters on display at WGLT.org.